Now, it's nice to see everyone who's made an effort to be with us. We appreciate that. Lord willing, we'll have another gospel meeting here tomorrow evening. We ask you to remember that, 7:30. And then the children's meeting in Rosebank at 6:30 on Friday evening. We ask you to consider these meetings into the future. Now, before we read together from the Bible, let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the mercy of God to us in ever-extending salvation. Father, we think of the wretched, we think of the guilty, we think of the lost. And Father, we're thankful that we indeed qualified for this salvation because of our sin, because of our sinfulness, because of our ungodliness, we can take courage that Christ died for the ungodly. And tonight, Father, we do pray that every person will be honest enough to admit what they really are in the sight of God. Help us, Father, not to be pretenders tonight, but to be hearers of the word and to respond. Father, we pray that thou wilt bless us as only thou canst. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Now, in our Bible, we're going to read in three different places tonight. Sometimes I shy away from reading too many passages because it can be a little confusing, but I don't think this will confuse us tonight. We're going to read in Genesis 22, verse. The book of Genesis, chapter 22. We're going to read verse number 11. Genesis 22, verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now, there's another book I want to read in. It's called 1 Samuel. Now, that's still in your Old Testament. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, chapter 3. First Samuel 3, verse 10. First Samuel 3 and 10. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Now the New Testament. In the New Testament, we have the Gospel of Luke. So Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. This time is Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 41. Luke 10:41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Think about that. One thing is needful. We read three places in our Bible, not the only places, but three of the places in our Bible where God speaks to someone and he says their name twice, back to back. We read it in Genesis 22 where he says, Abraham, Abraham. We read it in 1 Samuel chapter 3 where he says, Samuel, Samuel. And then we read it in Luke chapter 10 when he says, Martha, Martha. Now, we're going to learn lessons from each one of these things, but I wonder what it would be like to hear God speak your name. Have you ever thought about that? What it would be like to hear your name spoken by God. I am thankful tonight that as I'm preaching the gospel, God is speaking. God is speaking to you, and remember what we talked about last week? God is speaking to you by your name. He calls you by your name. Sometimes he calls you sinner, but he's speaking your name. Sometimes he calls you lost. He's speaking your name. Sometimes he calls you guilty. Sometimes he calls you... Oh, I had something on my mind and I forgot it. Sometimes he calls you on the way to a lost eternity, but God is calling you by name. Have you ever responded to the voice of God when he calls you by name? Just to think that tonight, the God of creation is the God of personal communion. He's calling you. But from these three different instances where he says their name twice, we're going to learn very simple lessons. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to learn that God wants to tell you something. When he says, Samuel, Samuel, he was trying to get a message through to Samuel. In Genesis 22, we're going to see that God wants to show you something. So that when God was getting the attention of Abraham, he wanted Abraham to look and see something behind him. So in Samuel, God is trying to tell you something. In Genesis, God is trying to show you something. But in the book of Luke, God is trying to get you to consider something. Consider something that's the most important thing in the world. What did you think the most important thing in the world is? That's something you haven't thought about today. I know. I'll give you a second. What is the most important thing in the entire world? Money? Some people would say yes. Money. Power? There are some people in our world tonight and they're just grasping after and wanting power, so that they can tell people what to do and tell them where to go and dominate the world. There are people with that mindset. But the most important thing in the world tonight is not money and it's not power. It's the salvation of your soul. The salvation of your soul. So once you get distracted thinking about anything else, come back to this. God wants you to consider your soul. We'll begin in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now, if you were reading through the entire chapter, you would find that God spoke a few times to Samuel. He speaks once. Samuel doesn't realize that it's God who's speaking. He speaks again. And Samuel doesn't realize that it's God speaking. And he would say, surely now, if God says his name the third time, he's going to know. But no, Samuel, he hears his name and he doesn't realize it's God that's trying to speak to him. Now, are you like Samuel? Some of us are. Some of us have been spoken to by God many times, where God has brought us the gospel right to our door. God has brought us the message of his son right to our ears. God brings us the message of our need, and he wants us to listen. But when God speaks, sometimes we don't realize it's God speaking. Have you ever had somebody else tell you, you know, that thing that happened to you? That could be God trying to get your attention. You know, when you came across that person and they gave you a gospel tract, or that person that shared with you the message of the gospel, that could be God trying to get your attention. You see, Samuel was hearing a voice, but he didn't realize it was God that was speaking. Eli had to tell him, Samuel, it's God speaking. You better listen. See, the Bible tells us that God speaks, and man doesn't perceive it, or people don't understand it. Now, I think we should stop here for a second and think about that, because it says that God speaks in dreams. Sometimes a dream that gets me to think about God is God speaking. Sometimes God speaks through events that happen in my life. Or maybe I get a diagnosis from the doctor, or I'm sick, and I think about God and meeting God. Well, that's God speaking. Perhaps a friend of mine is injured, or a friend of mine dies from cancer. And I start to think, well, maybe that's God speaking. But God also speaks through the gospel. As the gospel is being preached, and you think about eternity, you think about your sins, and you think about where you'll be forever after you die, that's God speaking. Sometimes at a funeral, God speaks. God speaks through His Word in the Bible. I ask you a quick question. Do you want to hear the voice of God? Would you like to hear what God has to say? People are afraid to say no, right? You're afraid to say no in case something bad might happen. But I'll tell you this. If you want to hear what God has to say, open your Bible. Read in your Bible. Read in the Gospel of John. Tell God all you need to tell Him and ask Him to show you what He wants you to know. You know what you will find? God will speak to you. Because God speaks through His Word. So God speaks in the circumstances of life. He speaks in the preaching of the gospel, and He speaks through His Word. But sometimes, if you would allow yourself just to be quiet, you know what? You'll have thoughts about eternity. You'll have thoughts about reality. You'll have thoughts about your soul. Now, I'm not meaning to labor the point, but I want you to get it. When you're thinking about your soul and eternity, that's God speaking. He's trying to tell you something. Will you listen? Samuel, he says. Samuel. Now, in Luke chapter 10, with Martha, it's a little different. Samuel was just a little boy. I'm not sure exactly how old Samuel was, but he was just a young boy. And he heard the voice of God. It's great in a series of gospel meetings when a young boy hears the voice of God and gets saved. It's great when a young girl will listen to what God is saying and trust Christ. But now Martha is a middle-aged lady, a little older, and she's busy. You know, a lot of us think that it's not going to be so busy once we get older, right? We only find out that every day makes us busier. And here she was, a middle-aged lady in her house doing all of her housework with the pressures of the day and with people waiting on her to provide them with food. And she becomes agitated, and the Lord Jesus speaks to her. And He says, Martha, Martha, now you are careful and troubled about many things. Martha, you're concerned about many things. Now Martha wasn't an ungodly woman. I believe Martha was a Christian at this point. And Martha wasn't an unreasonable woman. I think she was very considerate. But Martha had lost sight of what was important. And Martha was focused on the physical things, the temporal things, the things that are just for now. And her sister Mary was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and she was listening to His Word, and she was worshiping Him. And as she was listening to his word, she was thinking about things not that were temporal and physical and temporary, but things that were eternal. That's why the Lord Jesus says that part shall not be taken away from her, because the things that she was considering were eternal things. And perhaps that's really what God is trying to get you to consider tonight, isn't it? Busy? We're all busy. Lots to do? Absolutely. Lots to see? Lots of responsibilities? And we're always thinking about what we have to do next. But have you considered, Martha, have you considered eternity? If one person in these gospel meetings would stop putting everything ahead of Christ, they would get saved. If one person were willing to consider eternity is more important than here and now, I believe they'd get saved. Why? Because Satan will have you distracted until you lose your soul. But God wants you to consider eternity. When he says, Samuel, he wants to tell you something. When he says, Martha, he wants you to consider something. But Samuel, the young boy, Martha, the middle-aged woman, but in Genesis 22, it's Abraham. And Abraham's an old man, and God is still speaking. You know, I thank God that he doesn't give up on speaking. Thank God that he continues to speak to people, even into old age, with the grace of God finds them on a bed of sickness, but still with breath, God speaks. And now God speaks to this older man, not because he wants to tell him something, and not because he wants him to consider something, but because he wants him to see something. He wants to show him something. You have to consider now what is going on. Abraham has taken his son Isaac, and his son Isaac has traveled with him all that way up the mountain until they're finally at the top of the mountain and they build an altar. You can read it for yourself in Genesis 22. They built an altar. And then Abraham takes the wood and he lays it on the altar. And Abraham takes his son and he places him on the altar. And he takes cords and he ties him to it. So that now Isaac, his son, is in danger of dying. Isaac, his son, is bound to the altar. And Abraham now takes a knife, or he reaches for the knife, we are told. And as he's reaching for the knife, there's only one thing that can happen, right? There's no other ending to this story, is there? Isaac is going to die. It's come this far, and there's no turning back. Isaac is doomed to death. As Abraham reaches for the knife, what happens? God speaks. God speaks. Why? He wants to show him something. And he says, Abraham. And Abraham stops. Why? Because that's what you should do when God speaks. You should stop and listen to what God has to say. And God now intervenes to save Isaac. But he can't do it unless there's a substitute. Now, I'm going to stop for a second. Isaac has to die. And the only thing that will save him is if somebody else dies instead of him. You've heard about what it means to be a substitute, perhaps. If you're playing a game and there are six people on the court and one person comes off and the other person goes on, that person is called the substitute. They go in instead of another person. If you're baking something, which I know nothing about baking, But if you're baking something and the recipe calls for this item, you don't have it, you can put in a different item. It is a substitute to take the place of that item. But I want you to think about what's happening here at the top of the mountain. Isaac is going to die unless there's a substitute. And God says, Abraham, Abraham, I want you to see something. Turn and look. What is it? It's a substitute. And Abraham turns and he looks just like God said. And you know what he finds? A ram caught in the thicket, in the bushes, caught by his horns. There's a ram. That's the perfect substitute for Isaac. God says, look, that's what I want you to see. And Abraham goes over and he gets the ram and he takes the ram out of the bushes and he unties Isaac and Isaac comes off the altar and Abraham puts the ram on the altar. And when he puts the ram on the altar, he takes the knife. And now remember, that knife was going to go into Isaac, but now the knife comes down into the substitute. The knife comes down into the ram so that when the knife plunges, it takes the life of a lamb that could have been Isaac. Can I tell you tonight about a substitute? We talk about sin and we talk to you about the consequences of sin, hell, and the realities of eternal punishment. Can I tell you tonight that it doesn't have to be? You don't have to go out into a lost eternity. You don't have to lose your soul. God is trying to show you something. You know what he wants to show you? That on Calvary, the cross, 2,000 years ago, there was a substitute. God is saying to us, stop. I want to show you something. I want to show you my son. I want to show you my son dying for sin. Why? So that you don't have to. So that you don't have to suffer for sin. My son suffered for sin. Abraham, Abraham, he says, I want to show you a lamb. Sinner, sinner, he says, I want to show you my son. Now, it's been a few years, but I still remember that night when God saved my soul. You know what? You know what happened? God showed me his son. He showed me his son. He showed me that the death of his son on the cross is all that's necessary to make me safe, and that his word to me in the Bible is enough to make me sure. And tonight, if I could point you to that same one, God wants to show you his son. His death on the cross is enough to save your soul. His death on the cross is enough to save the world. His death on the cross as my substitute. Now we know what that means. It means he took my place when he died on the cross. Now, back to Abraham's story, where there's a lamb on the altar, and where the lamb has been slain, and where the lamb is burned with fire, and Isaac goes free. He goes free. Now, there's a lot of conversations that could be had surrounding that lamb, but there's one important one that I would like to be able to hear, and perhaps I'll hear what they said someday. But when Isaac got to the bottom of that hill and he talked to those young men, do you think he was talking about the rocks on top of Mount Moriah? Do you think he was talking about the bushes and how he'd never seen any bushes like it? Do you think he was talking about how perfect the altar was? No. I would venture to guess this. As soon as Isaac had a chance to open his mouth and talk to these men about what happened on top of that mountain, you know what he would say? You should have seen that lamb. That lamb is the most important thing about the entire experience. Tonight, if I can tell you anything, if you're saved, the Son of God is the most important thing in your entire experience. If you're a born-again believer, the Son of God is everything to you. Why? Because he took my place. He took my death. He took my punishment. And thank God he died for me. Not tonight. God is trying to tell you something when he says, Samuel, Samuel. God wants you to consider eternity when he says, Martha, Martha. But God wants to show you his son when he says, Abraham, Abraham.